Hanukkah came late this year, thus allowing us an entire Sunday where we get to celebrate it together all on its own. But the first night actually fell on Christmas Eve. It's a rare event that only happens once every few decades. As Petula Dvorak described in the Washington Post, this convergence can be seen as a wonderful symbol of hope for our world, a world that is struggling to find a path of interfaith cooperation and connections across differences. And especially given the rise of hate speech against Jews as well as Muslims and other marginalized groups in recent days. So on the night of the 24th, this rare occurrence could allow us to imagine Christians and Jews all across the world, each lighting candles of light in the darkness of winter and reminding us of our shared humanity, regardless of our religious faith or whatever else we might imagine would separate us. The story of Hanukkah, like the story of Christmas, has never felt more necessary or relevant for our times. You may know it, but I invite you to hear it now as if you are hearing it for the first time. It is, as many of the stories of the Talmud, not necessarily a story that happened historically, exactly as it is told, which means that the story itself is meant to be the point, not facts, but a deeper sense of truth. Something in the story that's not particular to any one time or place, but rather trying to teach us about something about life as a whole, across all time and culture and religions. So imagine. Imagine the rise of a narcissistic dictator. Just try. But this rise, it led to generations of tyranny, oppression, and fear, so that many of your people had been terrorized and even killed by those in power. This was the reality of the Jewish people at the time of the story of Hanukkah. Imagine for many years not being able to gather or practice the religion and customs of your birth. All those things that mean the most to you were outlawed. And then imagine, hope against hope, that a small band of rebels, without enough resources or enough people, without any real reason to think that they could be successful, they manage to overthrow that dictator and all those in power and liberate everyone into a new and possible freedom. This is the story of the Jewish people after the rebellion of that small band known as the Maccabees. Finally, these people who had lived on the edge of despair for so long, they would be able to return to their temple, which was for them a place of security and memory and hope. They were celebrating and purifying, remembering and reclaiming, for the Assyrian army had been defeated and they were free. During the many years before, in the years of hiding in caves and fending off arrest, they had missed their great festival of Sukkot, which must be celebrated in that temple. And so now they had returned, and they began to the ritual of the harvest as their promises with God required. But as they began, they realized that the Assyrians had destroyed all but one night's worth of oil for their lamp. And they needed at least 8 days' worth. Anything less would not allow that true rededication or commitment to begin as a religious community again, to begin again as a free people. After all they had been through, it mattered that they would do it right and completely. It mattered that they not let that light go out. So this is when we are told that the miracle happened. Because rather than that lamp staying lit for one day, the oil lasted for those 8 whole days. These 8 days are why during Hanukkah we celebrate for the 8 nights, as each night we light a new candle on the menorah. The final night of Hanukkah was last night, and so today I will light all the candles as a symbol of the completion of this great festival of lights. The center candle here is what we call the lead candle. So we light it first. And then each night we go right to left and offering a blessing. In the traditional version, it would go something like, "Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, sovereign of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to light the lights of Hanukkah. Blessed are you, our God, who performed miracles for our ancestors in those days at this time." But in feminist or other reform traditions of today, instead of or in addition to these traditional prayers, you might also offer justice-related blessings. For example, "We dedicate this candle to tolerance. Let this candle light the way for us to create a world of mutual respect and tolerance among all people." Or, "We dedicate this candle to peace. Let us use our freedom to create a world that uses words to build bridges among people and does not destroy each other." Or, "We dedicate this candle to courage. More important than physical courage would be the courage of our moral convictions, the struggle for the ideals we hold. Let this light remind us that without courage, these ideas and ideals will remain unfulfilled. And we dedicate this candle to justice. Let this light remind us of the other's needs and inspire us to share what we have with generosity and love." I've heard of other Hanukkah blessings that will lift up other stories of justice or of teachers or other ways to try to translate the meaning of this miracle for our world today. In that traditional telling, that miracle was primarily about the lamp that kept burning far beyond what it should have. That's how you end up with latkes and other oil-heavy foods around this time. But I think it's important that we remember, and what makes this story especially important for us today, is that there's something else miraculous that happened in this story. Something that made those 8 nights possible in the first place, which was that choice that was made to light the very first, to light that lamp in the first place, even though it seemed hopeless, even though it wasn't enough. In the past few months, I've heard many people wonder what they should be doing and how to make a real difference and if their efforts could really be enough, if it really mattered. Sometimes we can get so paralyzed with this feeling of not being enough that we don't do anything at all. But as we move forward into this new year, it seems that we need to do everything we can to help each other keep making the choice to light the first candle. We need to find those practices that help us connect with hope and love and joy and gratitude, all the things that would keep us from despair and the failure to act. For we don't know what the future will bring in our own lives or in the world. And we don't know what actions will or will not be enough. But the only way is that it could be at all is if we try. And just as importantly, if we keep trying. Because although the celebration of Hanukkah and Christmas and the New Year, all of these things just come occasionally, once a year, Their invitation is for us to find ways to light that first candle every day, to wake up and to take the risk of leaning into love, to learning something new, to relieve ourselves of some old prejudice or fear, trusting that something more will show up, that a way is still being made where it seems there would be no way. And just like that night 8 days ago that marked both Christmas Eve and Hanukkah, it can be powerful to remember that there are more and more of us out there taking that leap and lighting that candle, being the miracle. Together, as we call forth the future in all of its limitless possibility. Will you join me together now as we sing number 221, "Let's Light One Candle"?